First of all, David, what team news do you have going into the weekend?
Obviously, with Scotty, Goldburn completely out, rest of the season now. I don't think we'll get Scotty back till the end of the season. Dorsey's coming on really well. Possibly Tuesday, Wednesday of next week, he'll be back with us. So, delighted with Dorsey's return, or imminent return. Kelvin still not recovered fully from the whack. It was more of an impact than we ever first thought. So I've definitely held the reins on that one and sort of said, listen, I'm not going to take any chances with that. So but Kelvin's committed to a lot of training over in Spain, and then a lot of training. He's got a lot of good quality sessions in. So we're keeping Kelvin up with his fitness. And that's about it. The rest of the squad is fresh and are full, and are looking good for the weekend.
How much of a blow is the Goldburn injury? One, it's always a blow to lose a player at any time, but given how he'd been playing for you and the system that you've been using with him in it, gives you an even bigger headache, doesn't it?
Yeah, when I first took over, I think, you look at certain players who you feel, why would you play three at the back and two wing-backs? Goldie, we'd seen play down at Exeter as a wing-back. He played against us, and he's incredible at it. So, it was part of Scotty Goldburn's, the way he does play, and his energy going forward, and his quality going forward, that, was not a deciding factor, but a factor in switching to the system. So, it's a big loss, but that's all it is. It's a loss, and we're looking at recruiting someone in that area. We've hit the post a few times with some top draw recruitment to do that. But I'm trying to replace Scotty Goldburn, who for me has been the outstanding performer in the Championship at that position. There's no doubt about that. There's Konchesky and Olsen who are up there with him in the Championship. But Scotty's right up there. So, to replace him with a younger player in someone's academy or system, we're not going to get what Scott Goldburn brings, so it might have to be something different we try and do or refit to the table. But it is a big loss. But again, we can't turn into victims, and we need to come up with a solution, and that's what we'll do.
Is it likely you'll have someone before this weekend?
There's a slight chance. There's a slight chance something we're working on this morning, and then in the after... Yeah, there's a slight chance.
Tell us any more?
No, I can't. I don't want to do. Do you know what I mean? It's pointless because, again, if we don't get him, I set myself up. So he's a player that we've been tracking since Goldie's obviously injury, and we knew what was going on with Goldie. But a few people. It's a strange little period we're in because until the window actually closes, people are not sure. They're just assessing their squad. Are they going to play? Aren't they going to play? Do they need him in the final shake-up? It's a real incredible timing. With a window sort of closing again for emergency loans, so we've just got to sometimes wait a little bit longer than you probably would want to. But what I don't want to do is not wait on this player, bring someone else in, and then know when he comes available, think I wish I'd have got this player. So it's just cat and mouse at the minute.
Is it a player from this league though, or above?
Premiership.
Did you try for Ferguson at Newcastle, who went to Birmingham, I think, in the end? Shane Ferguson.
Yeah, we tried for Shane. Yeah, it was an option that we looked at and something that we discussed closely. But again, that's the difference sometimes. Players in the end aren't always advised by people. How can I say this? People, when I go for advice, I always go to people I love and I understand, and they give me that. Know how it is. I think some people go to their advisors, and sometimes their advisors only know what they know. So they don't take the best advice, and that's sometimes players end up in places and they go, I don't know what I've done here, I don't know how I've got here, and it doesn't work for them. But that's the way it is, isn't it?
Joe Matic at Sheffield Wednesday, was that ever on your radar? There's another name rumoured.
No.
Good. Are you looking to get back to the wing back system? Is that something that you are looking to revert to, because it was so successful for you?
Yeah, but we've lost John Stones, and John Stones left this building, and we got good money for John, and again replacing John Stones. Then we were two wing backs when we first started this journey. So we're gonna have to be adaptable. That's what we're gonna have to be. So it's something that we have worked on. It's something that the players enjoy being part of. And if we get the right fit, then we'll be looking to play that system. If we've got to be flexible, you know, there's been times in games on this run where I've switched to a back four. It might have gone unnoticed, but we have done in games. I've gone 4-3-3, which is another system that I quite like. So we'll have to be adaptable as the game grows and the involvement. But certainly, that's what's worked on this run we've had.
You mentioned Stones. I asked you the last time I saw you whether there's a possibility he could come back, and you said at that point that David Moyes was going to look at him and assess him. Any clearer now, or has the goalposts moved because of what's happened?
I think it's getting clearer. The picture's getting clearer. I think, again, going up towards the players that we inquired on, as it moves towards that window, I think there'll be quite a lot of business done the week before it eventually closes in March. And that's where we're going to have to be at. I don't think we can wait till then. So, you know, we might have to move for someone, and then Stonesy comes available. So it's a real balancing act at the minute that we're trying to get right. But we could get it wrong, and I'll only know in a couple of weeks' time whether we rolled the dice or we didn't.
So still a chance that he might come back?
There's still a chance, yeah.
What have you learned from last week? Because all along during that great run, you said the real test will be when you eventually lose a game, which has now happened. Mm. How do you think the team is set up to respond?
Well, what were great is obviously because of the reward of getting through to the next round of the Cup and getting a big money tie, we could get to Spain and spend some time together. And that time was reflection. It was work time. It was a time to move forward, not backwards. But a time for us to chat a lot and find out what would happen when we got beat. And we've gone through that over the last 4 or 5 days. We've spent a hell of a lot of time together. And the players, believe me, want to get back winning games. It's a feeling that they want. They feel like they let a lot of people down. They feel like they let themselves down. And the way we conceded from set pieces was not unforgivable, because, you know, forgiveness is one of the greatest human qualities you can have, and I've certainly got that. But they've got to forgive themselves, and we've got to move on quick. And that was brilliant about getting away. We spent the night in the hotel after the game, talked about it. The lads were flat, they were low. And we've been able to pick them up over 3 or 4 days. So I'm looking forward to Saturday's game, and the players are. I think they'd have wished that there'd have been a game Tuesday to try and rectify it, you know, in midweek, but they weren't. So we got out and spent some good quality time reflecting on performance.
I was saying disappointed about your tan. It's just not there, is it? Presumably it was cloudy in La Manga, was it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. Nah, it was a brilliant time together, it was. And the players responded to the type of training we did. I work at different aspects. We did a pool session that was just, you know, I did it with the players, and it was sort of coldest experience I've ever had in this pool. It was honestly amazing. The players they found it hard to get through it, so they did it, and it was a mental one, seeing how far they'd go to try and push the bodies to a limit that they're going to need. And I'm working massively on the mental aspect of this squad and the group, and then we did a session on the evening, which was so receptive, but you get that because the weather's decent, so it was really receptive. We did some structure work. And that was good. So it gives us a good opportunity to get away with the players and spend some time with them.
Because it has been so intense, hasn't it, over the last few weeks? Was it important that the players had that opportunity to clear the mind?
Massively. It's been, you know, we've been playing on a Saturday, probably in the first time in the club's history. Then going to an hotel, spending the night, you know, in the hotel, and then that night, then going on to, you know, planning for Wolves. When you've just beat MK Dons and you maybe want to reflect on that. Now we've showed them the Wolves video on the Saturday night late because players can't sleep. Then in the morning we've got up and done some more work, task work. So it's been relentless. They've not really seen a lot of the families. But I've asked them, will they sacrifice everything to find the answers? Because, you know, when you're in a bad run or you're not winning games, you have to find the answers. And we'll try and get solutions for what went wrong on Saturday. But it's really important that I moved on quick and the group moved on quick, because I don't ruminate on problems, they just make them bigger. But you have got to face them head on.
It's going to be an exciting finish, isn't it? I mean, you've got the Man City game as well in there. Mm. And on that point, is that going to be a difficulty for you to try and keep that to one side for now?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, we've planned a brilliant week next week, but that's off the back of staying in a hotel after the Burnley game. We're going to stay up in Burnley for a night and a day to then plan for the Man City game. And then we're going to spend 2 days away from here at the end of the week with the players. So all that's planned, you know, it got planned within 48 hours of the Man City game being announced. It's something that I'm mad on, making sure that you get that right, the prep, but weeks and months in advance. So we've got that done. But we always knew that the two massive games, Bolton and Burnley, was crashed in the middle of that. Mm. And they're incredibly important games for this group to, like I said, bounce back. If there was a game on Tuesday that the players could have played in and we could have arranged it, they'd have rather done that than going to Spain. They really would.
Are you the type of manager that will say to the players, if you want to play in that Man City game, you've got to show me everything in the next two games?
No. They've shown the fans, they've shown the club what they're prepared to do for this football club. So I don't use false promises, do you know what I mean, or false stimulus. They're doing this for, you know, for that phone call after the game. So if they want to speak to the mums, the dads, the wives, the sons, the daughters after the game and say in a proud way we won after a Bolton game, then that's what I'm telling this group and teaching this group, that's what it's about. And same with a Tuesday game. So they're all taken on different merit. It might be a different strategy. So what I don't want to do is say to a player, listen, you know, if you play brilliant on Tuesday night, you're going to play on Saturday. If I can't hold that promise, because from a logistical point of view or a position point of view, he can't play. Mm. So, nah, I don't really dangle them carrots. It's if you can get a group that believes in what they're doing and believes in themselves and get real self-esteem, then you carry quite a strong thing going forward for me.
What about Bolton? It's funny, they've just started to find some form now. I think everybody connected with the club would have expected them to be a bit better than they have been, actually, this season. And Dougie's gone in, and it was slow to start with, but changing now. And obviously there's the Davis factor as well coming back. How do you see this?
You know, it's a game that... I live in Bolton. I sort of know everything about Bolton and what Bolton want. I was a Bolton fan as a youngster until I become sort of a football fan. And what I know about Bolton is that the expectations were massive, and they did have massive aspirations of getting back straight up at the first opportunity, as Blackburn and Wolves did. I think what they probably did when they got relegated is underestimate how good this league is, how competitive and physical this league is. And I think Dougie's gone in there, and that's what he's trying to change, that physicality, that, you know, players prepared to run and prepared to work for each other. So it's been a slow turnaround and a slow process. But I've seen with Dougie, with his systems that he's trying to implement, that he's getting that success now. And I think he'll learn a lot from this season, from what Bolton need as a town. And he'll certainly take that into next season, and he'll be a real force next season. That's my belief. But there's been quite a lot of change around. I think under Owen, the place become a little bit, after the relegation, it sort of lost its fight a little bit. The town lost its fight, and Dougie's not gained any momentum until recently, and that momentum, they're in good form, they're in good shape. And Craig Davis, you know, he's someone who we spent a lot of time developing, spent a lot of time with Davo, and again, he's not really featured in what they've done. He scored a couple of goals from a substitute position, so I'm not too sure how much Davo will be part of this game. But I know if he comes on, he'll want to do well for Craig Davis. I think Craig was a great signing for this football club. He repaid us with his goals. And when he left us, we got a fee for Davo. So, you know, it's been good business all round for us to get Craig Davis in, work with Craig Davis. And now he's trying to make a different career for himself at a Championship club.
What kind of reception do you think he'll get? Does he deserve a good one?
Oh, come on, you know, he's done well for his football club, he really has. We've got him on a free transfer from a League Two club, not League One. He built himself into a Championship player, and the club made money for him to obviously spend in other areas. So, you know, Davo has gone on to something different, and he's trying to do the best for his family. So, You know, we've got to give, for me personally, I'll be welcoming Dave Weir, because that's what every man should go to work for, to better his family. And Dave thinks he's done that. And, you know, he should get a positive response.
Mm. And earlier on you talked about set plays, and one of the threats that they have is from set plays, isn't it? With Dawson in particular,
yeah,
who likes to get his head on things. How wary do you have to be of that?
Well, you know, Dawson is a player that we tried recruiting several times when Keith was here, and certainly the owner and the board would have backed us up to whatever it would have costed to get Craig Dawson in. I think the future's different than Craig Dawson going to Barnsley, whether they're trying to get, you know, a team like Bolton to buy him and invest in him from West Brom, or to you know, play in West Brom's team. I'm not too sure, but he's someone who we know all about. We know about his run, and he's a massive threat. And you know, we I think the first season we had him at Rochdale, he scored 14 goals. The second season, 12 goals from a centre half, which is incredible. But you put that ball in with the quality that you can do, and he's going to get on the end of it. It's something a bit like a Gareth Bale situation. I say to all the young players that are in my academy, and it's not luck that these players do it. Craig Dawson, we used to spend every single afternoon. I was putting every single ball possible into him, getting a flight of the ball. Craig Dawson spent so much time on that gift, like Gareth Bale does and like Lampard does. And there's no secret why Lampard is two goals away from an all-time record. These top players, they do it day in, day out. And the last off the training field, and Craig out for Lafondra. Could never get Lafondra off the training pitch shooting. And Dawson was very similar. You know, he knew it was a threat. He knew he carried a threat. And the best players do it.
Finally from me, Bolton at the moment 10th, but by no means safe, are they? Which shows you the competitiveness of this league.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, a few weeks ago I've stopped watching the top of the league and who's going to get to the Premiership, which is the biggest prize in football. Because it is quite amazing. You know, it's probably the only year where the 3, 4, 5 teams at the bottom have just not given up hope, have kept fighting for every ball. Usually by now you've got two, we know it's going down. But nobody can call it, no one can guess it, no one's probably betting on it anymore, because it's a mad shake-up, it really is. But it's made it exciting, it's made it interesting and very competitive. That's one thing it has made the league. And I just think it's one of the most exciting leagues in the world. But this season there's been a real shake-up, and if you're a betting man, you don't go anywhere near it, do you?